Welcome to day one of this Holy Week devotional journey. We are following Jesus during the week leading up to his death and resurrection. What did Jesus focus on? What was he concerned with? What does God want us to see? And how will we respond? Let's get started. Before we focus on the scripture, make space to be still and pray. Settle in to the next 15 minutes as you're prompted in different ways, followed by musical space. Let's begin by first taking some time to breathe deeply. Don't skip this practice, but wherever you are, take 5 deep breaths in and out. Now take a moment to cast your cares upon God. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:7 that he cares for us. Do you have any cares, hopes, pain, or lies you need to let go of? Are there people or circumstances to give to God? Take a minute to do just that by praying, "Jesus, I give you." We will be making our way through the Gospel of Luke's account of Jesus' week leading up to his death and resurrection. Before you hear the scripture, one last time, take a few seconds to pause, and this time, ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you through the living and active Word of God. Let's read Luke 19, 28 through 44. When he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent 2 of the disciples and said, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent left and found it, just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' 'The Lord needs it,' they said. Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their clothes on the colt, they helped Jesus get on it. And as he was going along, they were spreading their clothes on the road. Now he came near the path down the Mount of Olives, and the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles that they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees from the crowd told him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' He answered, 'I tell you, if they were to keep silent, the stones would cry out.' As he approached and saw the city, he wept for it, saying, 'If you knew this day what would bring peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. For the days will come on you when your enemies will build a barricade around you, surround you, and hem you in on every side. They will crush you and your children among you to the ground, and they will not leave one stone on another in your midst, because you did not recognize the time when God visited you. Before you hear this passage again, what stood out to you? What captured your attention? Usually, this is what God wants you to think about or consider or focus on. If it is only one verse or a phrase within a verse, that's okay. Don't rush. Just take a few seconds and ask the Holy Spirit to give you insight into the scripture. Again, let's read Luke 19, 28 through 44. When he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples and said, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say this, 'The Lord needs it.'" So those who were sent left and found it, just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, "Why are you untying the colt?" "The Lord needs it," they said. Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their clothes on the colt, they helped Jesus get on it. And as he was going along, they were spreading their clothes on the road. Now he came near the path down the Mount of Olives, and the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles that they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees from the crowd told him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He answered, "I tell you, if they were to keep silent, the stones would cry out." As he approached and saw the city, he wept for it, saying, "If you knew this day what would bring peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. For the days will come on you when your enemies will build a barricade around you, surround you, and hem you in on every side. They will crush you and your children among you to the ground, and they will not leave one stone on another in your midst, because you did not recognize the time when God visited you." These verses are often called the triumphal entry, but how and why is it triumphant? It fulfilled a long-awaited prophecy. Jesus rode a colt into Jerusalem, not a brilliant steed or behind a chariot with an army in tow. Zechariah 9:9 says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout in triumph, daughter Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Jesus was communicating to everyone who came out and those who would hear, "I am the long-awaited king and Messiah." Jews would have known about this Old Testament promise and prophecy. That is why the crowd shouts the praise, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." For those who believed in Jesus, it solidified their hope. By this time, Jesus and his ministry were well known. People flocked to him anytime he taught, but the religious leaders were working to discredit him and ultimately wanted him dead. For those who believed he was the Son of God, this particular donkey ride into Jerusalem meant that hope had come. Their hope may have been that Jesus would surely vanquish the Roman Empire and transform the religious system, but Jesus was intent on overcoming the evil at the heart of Rome, man-made religion, and inside you and me. God had not abandoned them, and a Savior was here. Evil would lose. Yes, Jesus would be triumphant, but not in the way most wanted and expected. His victory wouldn't be over earthly kings and kingdoms, but the sin that ruled in their hearts. At sin's core, it's a desire to live apart from God, to be our own God, to redefine what is good and what is evil, to live as if I am the boss, to say, I know what is best for me and what is best for you. Yet Jesus came riding in on a colt, saying, I will expose those lies with love, grace, and the sacrifice of my life at the end of this holy week. Through this sacrifice, he overcame all the forces working against his beloved people. He forged a new path to a rescued, transformed, abundant, meaningful life. This new life, as he intended, leads us to love God and people so much that we influence the world towards his grace. Jesus is the triumphant King the world would forever need. Now, pray back to God what stood out to you in a personal way. What insight, challenge, opportunity, promise, or truth stood out? Take some time right now to personalize and pray back to God what he has shown you in today's scriptures. Finally, we want to come away from our time with Jesus in the scriptures with an I will statement. What is God inviting you to do? To practice or to surrender? Remember, we're not saved by what we do, thankfully, but our obedience is vital to be fruitful disciples. Take some time to pray and write down your I will statement. Then share it with someone you trust and who will encourage you to do what God has said to do. Thank you.